Kathleen Wilson, working at the international stores near the viaduct, tells of a terrible incident in 1943.
The explosion that followed was tremendous, and to this day I can still feel the impact of the blast on my chest. A roar and shattering of glass followed instantaneously. We huddled together, and it seemed like an eternity before anyone dared to move. The air was full of choking dust, and as everything subsided back to normality, we very shakily ventured back to the main part of the shop. Our legs felt as though they consisted of nothing but jelly. A lot of the female staff were near to hysteria, and tears ran down their faces. We viewed the destruction with horrified eyes. The shop windows had imploded, leaving us open to the elements. The bacon rashers, under their covering of dust, were speared with splinters of glass, and nearly everything had blown free from the shelves. As I made my way to the shop door, I noticed cans of food rolling across the pavement into the gutter. Across the road, there was a gaping hole in the viaduct, and a few soldiers were emerging from the old school building. The air was still thick with dust as the rubble subsided into an ungainly heap. Our branch of the International was licensed to sell wines and spirits, and Molly Mitchell made her way to the fixtures that held these expensive items. Amidst the carnage and destruction, it was unbelievable to find that these bottles remained intact. She sent the apprentice to the cellar to bring up some clean cups. She emphasised the word clean, and she removed a bottle of brandy from the shelf. The apprentice was a little reluctant to go. I'm sure he thought the shop was going to collapse on top of him, but he decided to go rather than let anyone think he was scared. With the cups now assembled before her on a hastily wiped counter, she opened the bottle and gave us all a drink, which she insisted that we all consume. Then she went to the entrance and called to the soldiers to come across. They were a lot more shaken up than us, because they had been a lot nearer to the explosion. They shambled slowly across, supporting one of their comrades who had blood pouring down his face. They were really grateful for the brandy. Then Molly Mitchell took the Canadian soldier up to her flat and gave him simple first aid by placing a plaster over the nasty gash above his eye. The Canadian soldiers had been doing a course in the school building when the bomb came down. One very important question remained to be asked. How was the empty bottle of brandy going to be explained away to head office? Molly Mitchell had the answer to that, as without hesitation, she promptly smashed the bottle and threw it down amongst the debris waiting to be cleared up. As a matter of interest, many years after the war was over, the Canadian soldier who had been cut over the eye made a pilgrimage back to the shop. He looked such a different person in civilian clothes. He was very sad at not being able to see Molly Mitchell, because for years he had always remembered her kindness to him on the day of the bomb. He had now lost the sight in his eye. I could not fix up a date for him to meet her because he was leaving England later that evening.
The next stop is Down Junior School, the location of Take Shelter, the only original World War II air raid shelter open to the public in the south of England. Take Shelter is only open during certain festivals or when booking a group tour. The website is takeshelter.org.uk. If you're unable to visit Take Shelter today, you can save some time by heading straight to the Franklin Arms. Listen to the audio from Stop 3 to hear about the use of gas masks in Brighton. To head to the Franklin Arms from here, walk down Preston Road, passing under the viaduct to Preston Circus. Turn left after the Duke of York Cinema into Viaduct Road, the A23. Keep going straight onto Upper Lewis Road, then eventually turn right at Martha Gunn Pub onto Edinburgh Road. When you meet up with Lewis Road, the Franklin Arms is across the road to the right.